The question is academic because we've already had a woman president. She was a descendant of the Indian princess Pocahontas. She was born in a poor rural Virginia town. She was the product of 2 years' education at a boarding school. She married a jewelry store owner, and when her husband died, she took over the family enterprise. December 18 of 1915, she remarried. Her name had been Edith Bowling Galt. With her second marriage, it became Edith Wilson. For this, her second husband was Woodrow Wilson, then President of the United States. History remembers their relationship was unusually close. Edith stood by her husband as he steered the nation through World War I. She was his confidant, even his advisor in planning strategy. She was his most loyal supporter. But then October 2nd, the president was suddenly completely incapacitated by a paralytic stroke. The United States of America was leaderless. What are the procedures for transfer of power? Well, the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, the provision which prescribes a chain of command, was not to be ratified for nearly half a century. Wilson's vice president, Thomas Riley Marshall, would have been most likely candidate to assume the presidency, but he refused. In fact, the most qualified person in Washington to take over the president's job took it over. The First Lady, Edith Wilson. You see, Woodrow was a loner. He confided solely in his wife, invariably deferred to her judgment. Many a presidential decision had been influenced by Edith alone, even before her husband's stroke. So, when Vice President Marshall shunned all official duties, Edith Wilson welcomed him. Legally, her husband would retain the presidency for all practical intents and purposes. However, she was the president. During this period of recuperation, Edith was his only visitor. She breakfasted with Woodrow each morning at 8, read him the newspaper, otherwise discussed only matters of extreme administrative importance. Routine correspondence was digested and answered and signed Edith Wilson. For just as she had assumed the responsibilities of her first husband after his death, she assumed the responsibilities of her second husband through his months of incapacitation. She advised cabinet members on high-level policy issues, selected replacements for government posts which had been vacated. Late into each night, she studied the next day's official business, preparing reviews and synopses for Woodrow. Considering her knowledge of secret codes, she was trusted even by the military. And even as her husband's health progressed, nobody saw the president, regardless of position, without Edith's permission. Throughout the world, it was alternately praised and criticized as a petticoat government. For you see, the United States did indeed have a woman president, if unofficially, and if only for a while. And in this, Edith Wilson pointed the way for generations of women's rights activists to come. She might have done even more for her own generation of women had she not vigorously opposed woman suffrage. That's right. The ultimately capable Edith Wilson, the woman who assumed the duties of the presidency in 1919, considered women unworthy even to vote. And now you know the rest of the story.